Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson returns to Proctor's Theater in Schenectady next Monday with an all-new show, The Cosmic Perspective. It takes place April 24th at 7:30, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson to the roundtable this morning. Very nice to have you with us, sir.
Thanks for having me, and I was delighted to be invited back to the Proctor Theater. I was warmly received last time, and I'm happy to return.
Well, you damn near sold out the place last time, and then, which makes me just feel better about humanity, that an astrophysicist can sell out a theater. I think that's great.
So the way I look at that is, every time I walk out on stage and it's like the full theater, I'm thinking, do they know I'm an astrophysicist? were they expecting some other kind of show? So I'm in part disbelief of it every single time that I do this. And I have to agree with you. I think it means there's some hope for civilization that we can have this much enthusiasm for science, something that previously had been relegated to the back or wherever, someplace not up front where anyone believed they would ever care about it.
I apologize for getting political on the front end of this conversation, but doesn't it makes the brain sort of go, huh? When you have something like your success and an obvious appetite that people have for science in the world we live, and yet we seem to be politically and officially really taking science several rungs down the ladder.
We as politically and culturally.
Yes.
Yeah, and another mystery is the rise in the flat Earth movement, and that perhaps is the most mysterious of them all. I would say it's almost too easy to hit politicians on the head or to beat up on people who are either in denial of science or don't understand what science is or how it works. That's easy to do. What's harder is to ask, what is missing in the educational background of people who, as adults, and in many cases as college-educated adults, think this way? So now you got to go back and say, well, what's going on in the school system? And from my read of the school system, I think it's still kind of this way. You're viewed in K through 12, kindergarten through 12th grade, you're viewed as this vessel, and they unzip your head and pour information in every one of these grades. And then when you're done, they zip up your head and give you a diploma, and then you go forth.
Mm-hmm.
And are you ever trained to process information rather than just to memorize it and restate it? Are you ever trained to criticize information in an informed way? So what we're missing is some training that can teach people what science is and how and why it works. And it's not a biology class. It's not a physics class. It's its own thing. And if we knew that, you would not have adults coming out of the system saying things that they're saying in denial of obvious emergent scientific truths and then want to base policy on it. By the way, in a free country, you should be able to think and say what you want. But if you think Earth is flat, maybe you shouldn't be appointed head of NASA, for example. Plenty of good jobs for you where you thinking the Earth is flat does not harm anyone. So that's how we should be thinking about it.
So let's use you as a good example, Dr. Tyson, and that is, before they zipped up your head, how were you processing the information to be allowed to have the thoughts that you do?
That's a great question. I don't think it's a magic potion here. What I left out in my last little ditty there was, what should also happen while you're in school is that your curiosity should be fostered.
Right.
And curiosity is something we have in childhood, and then it's somehow beaten out of us, usually by middle school. And I joke about it, you spend the first few years teaching your kids to walk and talk, and then spend the rest of their lives telling them to shut up and sit down. And this is not so at some point you want to notice the curiosity and then foster it. And I assert that if you remain curious throughout school, then into adulthood, your curiosity manifests as someone who asks questions, someone who becomes a lifelong learner. If you become a lifelong learner, you spend many more years not in school than you ever did in school. And lifelong learners then completely transform. They grow in ways you never imagined. They become enlightened in paths they never knew existed. And you become insightful because you're curious. You say, well, I wonder why that happened that way. Let me find out. And then you go and invest energy to find out. And when you combine this and you sum up over all the time you're curious, you can become deeply enlightened and become one of the world's experts in one thing or another of the thing that it is that makes you curious. So inside of me, no, there was no some special recipe. It's just that at age 9, I knew I loved the universe, and I've been curious ever since.
The new show I mentioned coming to Proctor is The Cosmic Perspective. So give us a sense of what you want to discuss during this time with the audience.
Oh, yeah, thanks. In 10 days from now, I have a book coming out called Astrophysics for People in a Hurry.
Right.
I'm very proud of the book because I think it fills a niche that just was not filled by anything else out there, where people have fragments of knowledge about the universe, unconsummated, they're just sitting there floating, and this book will be the connective tissue for it all. And then you'll come out like fluent and conversational in astrophysics. It's 12 chapters, the 12th of which is called The Cosmic Perspective. And a cosmic perspective is the view you have of life after you've seen things from far away. And in this particular case, from space. When we had Apollo explore the moon, we went to the moon to explore it. But you know what else happened? We discovered Earth for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
From 1968 through 1972, the images of Earth deep in space, oh my gosh. Did it look like the schoolroom globe with the color-coded political boundaries? No. No, it was just oceans and land and clouds. That's what it looked like. And it's like, my God, what? And do you realize what happened within 2 years? Within a year and a half of that photo, what would happen? We would found the Environmental Protection Agency. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration was founded. We would ban leaded gas. We would ban DDT. We would introduce the catalytic converter. All of this. We would create a comprehensive Clean Air Act, a comprehensive Clean Water Act. There were earlier versions of that, but they were kind of underserving the needs of what was out there. We all came together. It was like a firmware upgrade happened inside of us all. And I don't know if you're old enough to remember the TV commercial with the Native American and there's a tear coming out of his eye.
Sure.
Because people were throwing garbage out on the street.
Right.
That happened in that era. Not before it. Not after it. In that era. So a cosmic perspective can completely, such as what happened in that case, can completely transform your understanding of yourself and your what your relationship is to your loved ones, to others, other humans, to other animals, to life on Earth in general. And I sometimes take it for granted that I have a cosmic perspective as an astrophysicist. I and all my colleagues have this. And I figured it was time to write it up and to give a whole talk about it.
This idea of having a cosmic perspective, many of the things that you mentioned were groundbreaking and changes that we made, and yet we've been somewhat idle over the last decade or so, have we
not?
Don't
get me started.
Okay. But I mean, so does that change our cosmic perspective? I mean, if for people who are younger, you and I are about the same age, but for people who are younger than us, does that change the cosmic perspective?
No, because you don't know the cosmic perspective that you don't yet have.
All right.
Right? If you knew it, then you had the cosmic perspective. So no one knew how we would react seeing Earth that way. Right? What are some other possible cosmic perspectives that could arise? We discover life on another planet that encodes identity in ways other than DNA. This could be transformative to biology. It's kind of a biocosmic perspective, if you will. What else could do it? If we find life that's more intelligent than we are, oh my gosh, how will we even be able to handle that? Is there a mental exercise we can put ourselves through to accommodate that day? Or will that day signal a change in the human condition that we cannot foresee or imagine? These are the kinds of things that are the purview of the astrophysicists, because we're out there and we're doing this work. But it would be a shame to not share it. What else is a cosmic perspective? Our life could be rendered extinct because of rocks in space that have our name written on it. And you're going to say, we have problems here on Earth. Let's solve those before we go into space. Meanwhile, the thing that might render you extinct is in space. You're fighting wars over a line in the sand because of limited resources in either energy or minerals. And I'm saying the universe has unlimited energy and unlimited minerals. You've heard of rare earth elements. You've heard of that. These are fundamental elements that we use in industry and manufacturing. There are asteroids where they're not rare. They're only rare on Earth. They're common elements on chosen asteroids. So space ought to be thought of as a fundamental part of anybody's vision for how we'd be living our future.
The forthcoming book is Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. Is that one of the problems, that we're too much in a hurry to stop and to understand this stuff?
I don't mind people being in a hurry. If we were in too much of a hurry, I would say, slow down.
Yeah.
Read my book, but you got to go slow. And I'm saying, no, I respect the fact that you're in a hurry. Don't stop keep being in a hurry. You can read this while you're in a hurry. So I am succumbing to the fact that you're in a hurry. I'm willingly doing so. And by the way, people have joked. They say, why'd you name it that? Was it because Astrophysics for Dummies was already taken? I said, no. It probably is already taken, but no. There's nothing dumbed down about... I don't think I've ever been accused of dumbing stuff down.
No.
And if you dumb stuff down, people know when you're dumbing stuff down, and I don't think anybody likes it. In this book, it's all there. It's all real. It's just that it's a curated selection of some of the most interesting things in the universe that you've read headlines about. You know, exoplanets discovered around a nearby star, the multiverse, the dark matter, dark energy. These terms you've seen and heard, but do they all make sense to you? Do they all come together in one coherent field of study? Probably not, because you're only caught it in piecemeal. So this book will help you consummate your relationship with the cosmos.
That idea of time, though, because it seems like this issue and our future as a planet should be something, and I'm not dissing your title in any way, shape, or form, but that we as a culture and a society have to slow down a little bit and decide priorities and to spend time on these very important issues.
Okay, so here's where I got you. You ready?
Okay.
First, I agree. So my secret plan, okay, don't tell this to anybody.
I promise.
Only your listeners, okay, but nobody else. My secret plan is, if I succeed in the way I intend, you know you're in a hurry, and you read this book, and you can definitely read it while you're in a hurry, okay, at the bus station, while you're waiting for the train. You can. Plus, I narrated the audiobook. That's my voice coming in at you.
There you go.
So you can This is 1.5 days in L.A. traffic. No, no, 1 afternoon in L.A. traffic. You hear the whole book. back east, it's, you know, the 2 days of traffic. So here's my secret weapon. It's, you read this book while you're in a hurry, and you say to yourself, this is so interesting. I want to learn more. I will carve more time going forward so that I can get deeper into the subject. If I succeed, that's what you'll be doing.
Neil deGrasse Tyson returns to Proctor's Theater in Schenectady next Monday night, April 24th at 7:30, with an all-new show, The Cosmic Perspective. His book comes out in the first week of May. It's called Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. You can find out more information about the Proctor Show by going to proctors.org. Neil deGrasse Tyson, what a great pleasure to have you on the program. We look forward to having you in the region, and thank you for sharing with us.
Again, thanks for having me on.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, you can find out more information about Dr. Tyson's visit to Proctor's Theater by going to proctors.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.